So, good morning. It is morning, at least for another 3 or 4 minutes. It's 11:56 a.m. Saturday, December the 16th, 2017. Yes, December the 16th, 2017. My mouth got ahead of my brain for a minute, and it took me a start to catch up. So, yeah, I'm out. I'm walking. I'm moving. I'm late as hell because I got up around 6. And then sat down in my chair and looked up, and it was 11, 10:45. So I had a piece of quiche and put on my boots and figured I better come out and get the walk out of the way. So the story's coming along. The story's coming along pretty well. It's not gaining loads of words every day, but the story itself is unfolding, I hope, pretty confidently. I'm trying to get more time in the writing chair and not succeeding too well with that, but I'm getting there. Yeah. Let's see what else. I'm reading after a rather embarrassing exchange with Doc Coleman about trying to get traction for his book Perils of Prague. Yeah, it's hard to get traction for one book. That's we have to start there. It's hard to get traction for one book. You don't really begin to get traction until you get 5 books. And while there are a lot of people who are exceptions to that rule, the reality is I've seen it happen over and 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 over. 5 books. You don't have 5 books, get 5 books. And then start worrying about how to get traction. And there's some really good reasons for that. The first is, it's really hard to amortize the cost of promotion, whether it's time, which is expensive, or dollars, which are expensive, effort, brain space, all of that's really expensive for a writer, because writers really need to be working on stories. But the reality is writers can't work on stories 24 hours a day. They can't even really work on them more than 10 or 12 hours a day, really. I've been terrible. And I've only been really spending an hour or so a day in the writing chair, putting words on the page. And I need to do more because I want this book done. I want this. And it's not going to get done by itself. Wishing it done won't make it happy. But the story is beginning to pull me, so that's a good sign. That's a really good sign. But, rewind. Todd Coleman and I had a conversation on a Scott Roche post on Facebook, and it was embarrassing because I said, you know, you really just need to ask for help. And the problem was, he did ask for help. He specifically asked me for help. And I didn't. And I don't know exactly why. I only remember one email from him about it. And it's possible that we talked about it on some other channel that I don't have a record of. But apparently I told him I was too busy not writing my first book of the year and tied up with dealing with taxes. Which is probably true, which means it was sometime like January. Maybe February of last year. The book itself came out in April, and that's when I got the diagnosis for diabetes. That's where everything just went to hell in a handbasket for about 6 months. So, not to excuse my blowing off a friend, but just to explain how it happened, because I was really embarrassed. And I have to say that everything that I've heard about Perils of Prague up until yesterday was, yeah, okay, it's probably his first book. It's taken him forever to write it. I know he's been working on Perils of Prague for, I don't know, seems like 20 years. It's probably not that long, but I know he's working on Perils of Prague when I saw him the last time in at Balticon when it was out at Hunt Valley. He was working on Perils of Prague, and he'd been working on Perils of Prague for a long time. Now, maybe it's a different project, but I don't know. It was going on forever and ever and ever. But it's out. It came out last April. And it's not doing very well. It's the first book. It's not too surprising. But he wrote to me and asked me if I could help with the cover reveal. I was like, I don't usually even reveal mine except to a closed Facebook group. That's not something I can really put a lot of leverage behind. But it is a dynamite cover. I got to give him that. It is a great cover. So, out of sheer embarrassment, I downloaded a sample. And holy shit! This is really good. It's steampunk. If you're not into steampunk, then you're not going to like this at all. But it's steampunk. I'm through the first chapter or so. I just took a few minutes and started looking at the sample, and it's like, holy. Yeah, this is cool. I'm enjoying the hell out of it. As soon as I finish the book that I'm reading now, which is I don't know if I want to recommend. I don't even know if I want to name it yet. So we'll see. It's not bad. The blurb is the product description is kind of really amateur. The cover is not really indicative of what it is. There are so much better treatments, I think. There are so many better treatments that he could have used than a basic black and white geometric shape on a cover. This, you know, it screams amateur hour. The story itself is okay, I think. It is not my new favorite dystopian novel. I don't really like dystopias. Most of them are done really badly. This one at least is done pretty well. I'll let you know. Stay tuned. Watch the spaces, Rachel Maddow would say. But yeah, Perils of Prague. I'm really looking forward to getting through this other book so that I can get into Perils of Prague. Grab a sample. If you like steampunk, try to get over the naming. He's done something that just is sort of like, really? Really? But try to get over the naming. You will run into Crackle and Bang before too very much longer. Before you get too far into the book, you will run into Professor Crackle, Harmonious Crackle, and I forget what her first name is, but Ms. Bang. And it's not glass and steel, for sure. It's not books and brawn. But there's sort of elements of each, just in the first few pages. I'm sure that Doc will come up with his own voice as the story unfolds. It's already rather much like, I can imagine, Doc Coleman's voice being. So yeah, if I weren't enjoying it, I wouldn't have mentioned it at all. I wouldn't have brought it up this morning. So just a little heads up. I'm liable to talk about it for the next few days, just in case. Particularly if I don't have anything better to talk about, like my own book. But no, this is pretty decent. I like it. I am liking it. I'm continuing to enjoy it. When I get done with this other book, I'm gonna do a deep dive into Perils of Prague. So, yeah, yesterday was another one of those days that got away from me. I had runaround errands to do in the morning. Had stuff happening in the afternoon. The day before was another... I sat down, and by the time I stood up again, it was noon. And I had errands I had to run in the afternoon. Holiday, holiday. Lovely holiday. Get ready, stay with me. Bunk post. So yeah, it was a day. It was a couple of days, and I just did not get out to walk. This afternoon, this morning, it's afternoon now. This morning was another one of those days, and I said, no. I'm going to get something to eat, and then I'm going to go for my walk. And natter on for a bit. I don't really have anything to talk about this morning. The story is at that point where I think it's been there for a while, where I'm overthinking it, and I'm not letting the story tell itself. So I'm getting in the way. I'm trying to fight that, but we'll see how it works out. One of the problems I think I'm having with the motorcycles is that they're just supposed to be. They don't have any real theme. The theme, I'm waiting for the themes to sort of evolve, to develop. I don't even have a log line for Suicide Run. I just have the title, Suicide Run. I don't know what the story is supposed to be about. I don't have any preconceived notions about how it's going to work, which means I'm sort of spending a lot of time fiddling in the dark. I've got 9,000 words that I've chopped out of it, tacked onto the end of the file in case I want to reuse any of it. But I doubt that I will. But they represent about 3 or 4 odd turns that seemed good at the time, but that ultimately didn't attract me. At least I've got the story moving. At least something is happening in the story. There's a ship that's not behaving correctly. And the question is why, and it's not doing it on its own, so who's behind it and why? So, yeah, the answer is somebody that, a name we've already seen before. And probably not the one you think. Although maybe, I don't know, it depends on, I know a lot of you are really close readers. I did record the other day, was it just yesterday? Seems like so long ago. John Masefield's poem, Sea Fever. And I did some research on the poem itself just to kind of find out a little bit more about it. I've always liked the poem, but it has a very pronounced rhyming scheme, but it has an awkward meter. So the first two lines are an iambic pentameter. But after that, it does something odd. And the meter goes in strange places that my tongue doesn't like after going, I must go down to the seas again. To the lonely seas in the sky. And there's there's one line that branches over from one the end of one line to the beginning of the next. So there's no pause at the end of the line. You have to read straight through. I like the way it came out. I do. It came out pretty well. Came out pretty good. And some of the background, some of the the critique, some of the theory behind the poem, is that he's not really talking about ships and the sea. The voyage is life, which resonated with me, since it's pretty much the theme of every Ishmael Wong book. At least the underpinnings for every Ishmael Wong book. Maybe that's a problem. It's not necessarily the underpinning for Natalia Ruggieri. At least not yet. We have Home Run coming. But I have to finish Suicide Run first. And I know people are really upset because I haven't got My Darkness Forged out yet. But your patience will be rewarded. I hope. Jesus. I hope so. I really need to get more than one book out in fiscal year 2018. I've got a medical issue that's going to need some attention in the new year, but I need to get my Medicare supplemental insurance established so that I can take care of that. Anyway, so yeah, sea fever. It's when the long trick's done. Refers to the end of the voyage. And it's not a sea voyage, if you get the meaning. So it was very nice. I'm glad, I forget who asked me if I would do it. And I thought, well, you know, it's just like a minute. It was actually more like 10, because I'm fussy that way. But it didn't take very long. And I didn't do the walk, so it seemed like the least I could do. I never let it be said that I didn't do the least. The least I could do is turning into be a theme in my general life practice these days. I went to try to book a room for, speaking of life practice, I went to try to book my room for Austin and for Colorado Springs last night. The Colorado Springs Hotel's reservation system was down. And apparently the room block for Smarter Artists has sold out. I've got people making inquiries on my behalf from the conference, but I would expect that we have heard from the conference people that if it was being close to selling out. I hadn't. There was just a guy the other day who said he got his room. I assumed he got it at the conference hotel. Maybe he got the last room, I don't know. But we're 2 months out. If they're selling out their room block and it's still 2 months out, they aren't making very good deals with the hotel. You know, you're going to close the room block the 1st of January, close the room block the 1st of February. That's understandable. But selling out of the room block? I don't know how many rooms they had in the room block, but they don't have that many people attending this year. So it was curious. So I've got some people looking into it. I've notified Podium. They're bringing 40 people. And if the other authors are like me, then they're probably waiting for another couple of months to see how the year goes before they commit. At any rate, here I am at the back gate. Tomorrow's another day. It's a Sunday. And with any luck at all, I'll talk to you then.